is the Superhuman Channel. Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. During the first hour, we're going to have Rob Regish back on the show. This is the week of Rob Regish, isn't it, Rob?
It sure is. Turned out that way.
And you're going to be on tomorrow. Actually, we had a guest fall out at the last minute today, and Rob was kind enough to come on and do a show. This is a really important show. During the first hour, we're going to talk about all the newbies out there, fathering a new generation of physical culturists. The reason for this show is my son, Chase. My son, I do not influence my son in any way, shape, or form as far as training or my desire to have him become a physical culturist. If anything, he's probably gone the other way in his life, away from that, because that's what his dad does. Well, he's been telling me he's been training a lot lately. He calls me up yesterday and says he's been reading things on the internet, and he realizes now he's an ectomorph. I'm like, wow, okay. And he starts asking me questions, and I thought, you know, I've got to do a show about this, because there's probably a lot of young guys out there who are feeling these same challenges. And so we're going to cover that during the first hour, getting started in this game. During the second hour, Pam Colleen is going to be on. We're going to be addressing this recent research about red meat shortening your life, and we're going to get to the bottom of it with her at that time. Okay, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Should I be insulted that my son doesn't listen to my show?
He's at that age, Carl. He just, dad doesn't know anything.
Yeah, either that or I think he doesn't like to listen to my voice, one or the other. But anyway, okay. A lot of young guys start out. They get the idea that they want to get into the gym, usually at around that age of anywhere from the latter years of high school to the early 20s, where they want to look different. That's really what motivates them. It's not about strength, is it?
No, it's primarily aesthetics or appearance, absolutely.
And so they start reading on the internet. And these terms have been thrown around in our industry for a long time. Endomorph, mesomorph, ectomorph. Let's do a primer. What are they? What's the difference? And what kind of body shape do you have if you're one or the other?
Okay, what you're talking about there is somatype, something known as somatype. And there are three different types. The first would be an ectomorph. Good example there would be just a very tall, lanky person with not a lot of muscle tissue, finds it difficult to put on weight, etc. At the other end of the spectrum is what is known as an endomorph. These are naturally big bones, thick people. They put on muscle and fat very easily. They have a tough time losing fat. And somewhere in between there is what's known as a mesomorph. And a mesomorph is really, in our game, probably the ideal because they have elements of both. And in truth, most people are a mix of, two different types. Now, in my example, it sounds like same as your son. When I was 15, when I started, you know, picture 6'1", 143. Uh-huh. It wasn't a pretty picture. So this is my story. I can relate.
But aren't guys like you better off because you don't put on fat that easily? So if you focus on the right nutrition and the right training, you should be able to put on muscle but stay lean.
Well, there are good parts of being an ecto, and there are bad parts. And that goes for all three somatypes. The key and the most important thing for people to understand is being able to identify who you are in terms of body type and then tailor your training and your nutrition to it such that you can get the kind of results that you want.
Okay, which leads me to the next question. You know the tabula rasa theory? Everybody starts with a clean slate and you build from there.
Yep.
Okay. Is there really such a thing as an endo, ecto, or meso? Or is it that They eat differently, and as a result, they grow differently.
No, it's a real physiological phenomenon, if you will. You know, there are objective measurements that you can use to determine which type you are. But generally speaking, it doesn't take much. You know, I don't get 5 minutes into this conversation with somebody before they'll say, yeah, I know, I'm an endomorph, or I'm a meso with endo-leaning tendencies, if you will. So it's in your family tree. It's in the mirror. If it's not obvious to you, then certainly, you know, there are other people around you that can give you feedback to help establish who you are.
Okay, so what? So basically, if you eat a lot, or you find that you're eating a lot, and you train relatively hard, but you don't seem to acquire any new muscle, you're an ecto, right?
That's a big part of it. Yeah, ectos have a very difficult time putting on lean body mass, even when they're force feeding and doing everything right.
Is there a population of one more than the other? Are there more endomorphs out there than ectos? Obviously, the meso is the genetic gift, right?
Yeah, I don't know about the general population, but I will say this. Our sport tends to draw people at the extremes. So typically, a lot of people get in this game because they're underweight and they want to bulk up to get some muscle, or they're extremely overweight and want to lose fat, and yes, they see the muscles too and say, hey, I'm going to go get that. And what I'm saying is, in English, our sport tends to draw people that are not happy with themselves, but they're willing to do something about it, and that's what matters.
Okay. And what about the old notion, if you want to be big, you got to eat big? Is not the ectomorph's main problem acquiring enough dense calories each and every day to add weight, or even when they eat right, they don't gain?
That's one half of the dreaded duo, I call it. Overtraining and undereating are the ectomorph's two biggest issues, if you will.
Interesting. Interesting. Yep. Anyway, so we come back again to the notion of the training duration. You know, sometimes in a lot of things, more is not better, and in this case especially, it sounds like.
No question about it. It's you know, there are a lot of things that go into whether your efforts in the gym pay off, but if you are able to accurately diagnose your somatype and understand the challenges that are presented for that somatotype, then you've got half the battle won, because this is all about strategy. It's like any war. It's not the tactics necessarily. It's your big picture strategy.
Okay. So we're gonna try to divide this up into a couple things. We're going to divide it into, first we're going to talk about training, because that's what everybody wants to hear about first. And then we'll talk about nutrition. And again, this is focused exclusively on the beginner. But you know what? A lot of us out there need refresher courses on what got us started, because a lot of us made great progress in the beginning. Then somewhere along the line, it fell off, and we never figure out why.
Totally agree.
So, you know, this could be also for those of us out there who've been training a long time, kind of revisiting and going back to the basics, if you will. So let's start out briefly before we take the first break with training. Mm-hmm. Detail three different training types for the three different somatotypes.
Well, I'll take the ectomorph first. The ectomorph really needs to focus on two things. One, sharpening the central nervous system, which is done primarily by working in the 90th percentile or greater. The issue there being you can't do that really for much more than 3 weeks after you're past your, you know, first introductory to the weights. The other thing that they need to do is build work capacity. Work capacity is defined as being able to move a certain amount of total tonnage per unit of time. So if you lifted, for example, 10,000 pounds in 10 minutes, you divide 10,000 by 10 and you've lifted 1,000 pounds per minute. There's your reference point.
Right.
So sharpen the central nervous system.
Okay, so by sharpening the central nervous system, what you're really saying is focus on strength, focus on making deeper inroads into strength, right?
Yeah, strength is the ticket, but the issue being you do need to kind of flip-flop back and forth between working really heavy and then working on your total tonnage.
So you're talking about periodizing it?
Yes, sir.
And do the ectos require shorter periodization or longer periodization?
It's, be- been my experience that the optimal way to do it is to split it up. In other words, you would have six workouts over about, let's say, a 2.5 to 3 week period.
Right.
And focus just on your strength work, central nervous system, rep range with an appropriate weight, anywhere between, you know, 1 to 3 reps. And really focus on making the connection from the brain to the spinal cord to the muscle telling it to contract. Now, after those six workouts are up, then you would do six sessions of total tonnage.
So you'd start doing density training. You would start moving faster and trying to get more and more work done. But would you still work in that same weight range and rep range?
No. For the total tonnage, what you would do is you would shorten the rest in between sets, and you would up the number of repetitions, which it logically follows that the amount of weight that you're going to use is a little bit lighter. But what you can see, what I'm doing here is, for six sessions, you focus on strength, the next six on total tonnage and work capacity. Those are kept separate when you're a beginner. Later on, when you're more advanced and you need to take the next step, there are ways of combining both of those within the same workout.
And see, that's what I suggested to my son Chase, but obviously he needs to start out segregating them first.
It's much easier. You know, there's an old saying, and it holds true in weightlifting, divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And it's much easier to conquer when you divide things up into smaller pieces.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll start addressing the other two body types. We're talking with Rob Regish this hour, and this is, for lack of better terms, the genesis of physical culture, getting started. And for those of you who've been training for a long time, maybe revisiting some of the basics. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formula are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and Andros estinotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to mention, I get emails constantly, people asking me for updates on coupon codes and special promotions that we're running here on Superhuman Radio. If you are part of the Superhuman Radio community and on our mail list, once a month we are now sending out a master list of all the coupons that are in effect. And we're going to be doing it this weekend, actually. This is a good time to join the mail list. Go to superhumanradio.com. And if the pesky little pop-up doesn't drop down asking you to join, go down to the bottom, very, very bottom of the page, and you'll see where you can join our mail list. We're talking this out with Rob Regish. Okay, so what about the other two body types? Do we need special training for them as well?
I think so. I think it makes a lot of sense to address your training based on soma type. So I'll go to the other end of the spectrum now, that being endomorphs. And again, these are naturally big-boned, heavy people. They tend to put on muscle mass very easily, but also fat with it. Their goal, their real objective, a lot of them are in there because they have excess baggage and they know they need to lose it. So, you know, looking at their goals and their soma type, I tend to recommend the following. The endomorph needs to skew his or her exercise template more towards using the lactic acid tolerance or lactic acid energy system. This is, in other words, this is moving very quickly in the gym, very short rest intervals between sets. And although, you know, we do utilize that, I'll rotate that type of training for about 5 sessions. They'll perform 5 straight lactic acid tolerance training sessions with 3 central nervous system, strength work type workouts, and then rotating again in that 5-3 ratio because their primary goal is not, you know, they don't need a lot more muscle. They already have a lot just from carrying around all that weight, and they'll build a lot of it. But, again, you want to skew the ratio to about a 5-3, 5 workouts working very quickly, 3 workouts working slower with heavier weights.
Is it because their real goal is repartitioning, burning fat, and maintaining the muscle that they have already?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them aren't even in there for muscle. Many of them are just in there to, you'll hear them say this all the time, I want to lose the fat. I want to lose the fat first. That is the goal, getting the baggage off. Now, that doesn't mean you neglect strength work, because strength underlies everything. It's fundamental to your success in the weight room. Any other type of training you do is predicated on your strength. And when I say strength, I mean your absolute strength, meaning, let's say your 1 repetition maximum with a heavier weight. Because you show me a guy that moves his 1 rep max from 250 to 300, and I will show you a guy that can do 225 for more repetitions than he was capable of prior every single time. However, the reverse is not true. You take that same guy, he was working with 250, and he was doing it for 10, and now he can do it for 20. Put him under 300 and watch what happens.
He can't necessarily lift it, you're saying.
It gets stapled.
Yeah.
they get squashed with it. And That's not necessarily because, you know, they've done anything wrong, but they've neglected the central nervous system. And because the central nervous system has not seen that weight before, and because it has not been kept sharp, you lose the ability to recruit all that muscle tissue simultaneously to move the 300 pounds.
Okay. And then the third body type is?
Third body type is
the mesomorph. And all he has to do is go in and look at the weights, right?
Well, yeah. The losing muscle, even on an aggressive diet, is not an issue for these people. They just naturally retain it. They're born with more of it. However, mesomorphs will thrive on central nervous system workouts. They're naturally strong people, so they will want to gravitate towards that activity. The point I'm trying to make is you really need to rotate in lactic acid tolerance training work. In other words, that's faster-paced weight training to ensure that the one weakness that they do have, which is a tendency to gain some fat along with that muscle, is addressed. And by doing that, you'll keep them in check insofar as body fat levels. They are, like I said, they're far less likely to lose muscle in an aggressive caloric deficit. They're naturally stronger, and it dictates a lesser need for those central nervous system strength workouts.
How frequently should these three body types be training, or is it all the same?
No, it's not all the same, and to compound that issue, it's individual, you know.
Okay, let's start here. What do you consider a seasoned trainer? What do you consider a newbie? Like, if let's say my son has been training for a couple months now, consistently, yep. But really has had no, him and his gym buddy are coming. Because I asked him the other day, I said, so how do you train? He said, I do 3 sets of 12 and 2 sets of 8 of the same movement. And so naturally I said, oh, so you go up and wait on the last two.
Yeah.
And he said, no. And I says, well, why are you dropping down to 8 reps? He says, because, you know, I don't want to injure myself. I don't want to overtrain. I don't want to trash my body. So I think it's interesting that he's doing 5 sets, but I've never heard of that kind of a loading pattern where you do the same weight, a static weight, for 3 sets of 12 and then 2 sets of 8.
No, they're just, you know, they're getting their feet wet, and they're learning. You know, they're learning about their bodies and what rep ranges they respond to. But with respect to frequency, Carl, for a beginner, I would start a beginner off on a one-off push-pull routine such that they get familiar with some of the fundamentals. And one of the big fundamentals, one of the big three, intensity, volume, and frequency, is how often to train. And it is a difficult exercise to take a young man who has a lot of ambition and testosterone and teach him the magic of rest days. There will come a time, as his strength increases from workout to workout, he's lifting heavier weights for more repetitions, many times more sets. It logically follows that the stresses on the body are increasing. If that young man does not start to insert extra rest days, meaning go to a one-on, two-off schedule, ultimately any fixed training frequency will fail him with time.
How do you explain it to them that the rest? I mean, obviously, they want to be in the gym because they believe that that's where they're going to grow.
You know, the most powerful way is not to explain, but to, you know, have them live it. And what I mean by that is this. After you're done explaining that it's not the notes that make the music, it's the spaces in between.
My son will appreciate that because he's a musician.
It is true. But rather than explain it, show them in living color, meaning show them the magic of inserting that one extra rest day, because when you do, if you're doing everything right, when he walks back into the gym, he's going to be stronger.
Yeah.
And when you lay on the couch for one extra day and your squat goes up all of a sudden by 5, 10 pounds, sometimes 15 or 20, it registers.
Right, right. So you say start off with a one-on, one-off until at some time that you become strong enough where you really need one on, two off.
Yeah, you're going to start to get signs. And I'm glad you brought that up. body wisdom, I'll call it, comes with training age and training experience, how many years you've been training, but it's best thought of as follows. Your body is going to start to give you signs that you need more recovery time. Things like all of a sudden the weights, you know, aren't moving up like they used to. You're not able to get another rep. You're not able to add another couple pounds to the bar. You have little aches and pains in your joints. You're not sleeping well at night. You're restless, and maybe your appetite has dropped. Very common in ectomorphs. These are all signals that your body is giving you to back off. And if you're wise enough to do so, you will be rewarded with more strength and more muscle every time.
Yeah. Do you think the blueprint is an adequate training guide for a newbie? Can they take the blueprint and use it, or is it that really more for advanced trainers?
You know, I'm going to be totally honest. The blueprint needs a certain fundamental understanding of the basics in this game.
Right.
Now, having said that, a lot of people come to me and say, I think I'm ready for blueprint, but if, you know, I want to make sure, I'm going to do this right, where do I need to be coming from? And very simply, my stock answer on this is, if you've had exposure to Bill Starr's 5x5, classic 5x5 routine,
mm-hmm.
if you've had exposure to Mad Cow's 5x5, if you've had, if you're familiar with squatting, benching, and deadlifting, then you're ready.
Right.
Then you're ready. What I don't want to do is shoot a cannon out of a canoe,
right.
to quote Fred Hatfield,
right.
Because that's when people get hurt.
Yeah. No, I like that. And that's true. The 5x5 is a fantastic a program as a primer. And it sounds to me like the 5x5 might even be a good ectomorph training protocol.
It is. It has stood the test of time, which there are a lot of programs and other things in this business that have not. 5x5, I can't say enough good things about it. We do use 5x5, a variation of such, in the blueprint for a very specific purpose, and it works like a charm. It works so well, I did not change it when I wrote 3.0 because big fan of not fixing what's not broken.
Here's a quick question before we go into the next break. You're a newcomer to the gym. You've been playing around with the weights. You really don't know what your one rep maximum is. Now we're telling the ectos they need to do central nervous system training. We're telling them that they need to do the lower rep ranges in training. We're telling them that they have to go up into the 90 percentile of their one rep max, which they may or may not really know what it is. Is there a break-in period? Should a new trainer, and I say new, even somebody who's been training for 5 or 6 months but has had no plan, should a new trainer go into the gym and lay down on the bench and see what the different weights feel like before they show up one day to do a routine and say, okay, I'm going to open with this weight, not really knowing what they should open with? Because obviously there's a very thin line between handling a weight and injuring yourself.
Yeah, I would be remiss not to expand on that. You do really need to have that break-in period to where you are comfortable in executing the big barbell lifts. And here I'm talking about the classical lifts, the bench and the squat and the deadlift. Now, you don't see a lot of squatting and deadlifting going on these days because it's hard work. Right? I mean, let's be honest. You don't want to join the bench and curl crew because they're headed nowhere. You want to get to Gainesville. You want to get to Gainesville fast, you get familiar with the squat and the deadlift.
Yeah, no doubt. But obviously ease into it. So would you recommend, if someone is about to change, if they've been doing what my son has been doing, they say, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try the lower rep ranges. Would you say that for 1 week, go into the gym and just play around with weights and see how they feel as you start to increase the weight that you're going to be using, so that the following week you can go in and have a plan?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that makes all the sense in the world. I actually go one step farther than that. If the person is brand new to weight training, I will not ask them to take a one rep max in anything because I think it's dangerous as hell.
Right.
But rather, I have auto calculators which will tell me let's say he moved, 200 pounds for five repetitions, what his estimated one rep max is, and it's usually very close.
Interesting.
For every rep you go above three, the more difficult it is to predict your one rep max.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I think it pays to start talking a little bit about nutrition, too, because this is the other part of the equation. We're talking with Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint. If you are a more advanced trainer, The Blueprint can help you continue to make gains ongoing. Check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com. Click the Blueprint banner ad today. We'll be right back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gain. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com. And clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Regish this hour. We're talking about beginners. Everybody was a beginner at one time. We all start from somewhere. You know, I'm really proud of my son. I mean, I have not tried to influence him at all. In fact, I don't even think I ever, maybe I did invite him to the gym once or twice when he was young, and I did buy him a weight set, but he was at an age where he was in high school and he was more interested in hanging out with his buddies than really training. But he's really taken a great interest. In fact, he told me the other day, He said, Dad, do you think I should use a weight gainer? So naturally, what do I think, Rob? I think he's talking about some high sugar, you know.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, those products, he goes, well, no. He goes, I make my own weight gainer. I said, really? He said, yeah, he uses raw egg, honey. I mean, he listed a bunch of things. I was like, that's fantastic. As how many of those a day do you have? He goes, you know, it just depends. He goes, like two. And I said, absolutely. That's a great weight gainer.
Yeah, that's that brings back memories, Carl.
I mean, I had a weight gainer that I loved. It was 2 to 4 8 ounce glasses of raw milk, raw honey. I think we talked about this recently with you and Wade and I, and raw eggs and brewer's yeast. And, I mean, it's like, and those things were fantastic. And I used to drink those things down 2 or 3 a day. Each one of them was 1,000 calories.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good point. You know, if you're an ectomorph and you're listening and you have difficulty getting the food down, it's a lot easier to drink 1,000 calories.
I know, right? I know. Listen, don't be fooled by this. Most of your professional bodybuilders out there, most of your professional strength athletes, they're drinking an equal amount of calories as they're eating. It's virtually impossible to eat a nutrient-dense diet day in and day out of between 5 and 8,000 calories and chew it all.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, God forbid you travel or you're out on the road in the nutritional desert that is America now. You know, get yourself a thermos and some good liquid nutrition, and you'll have something to feed your muscles wherever you are.
Yeah. Now, how quickly can you start adding calories? So, in other words, let's say you've got an ectomorph, he's 6'1". And he's 140, 150 pounds, like young Rob Regish was, right? Do you go right from the 1,800 to 2,500 calories a day that you're noshing on to 5,000? Do you do it in 200 to 300 calorie increments? I mean, and when I use the word calorie here, you know, I know calorie is not a calorie. I'm assuming that these are metrics that we're using to measure high protein, high fat, and low glycemic index, good carbohydrates. So just with that being said, how fast do you climb the ladder? Do you go right to 5,000 calories?
No. It is prudent, in my opinion, to add no more than 500 calories a day early on. And I'm saying that because a week's worth of 500 calories a day is roughly 3,500, 3,600 calories, which is equivalent to, right, 1 pound.
Right.
Before I go there with somebody, though, it's necessary. It's a pain in the you-know-what, but it's necessary to go through an exercise called establishing your caloric maintenance, daily caloric maintenance level. And a lot of guys don't know what it is. They need to find it fast. And what you're going to find is, after that, there's a certain amount of discipline that's going to have to be exercised every day. And what I'm talking about is at least 2 of your meals, or, you know, they might even be those shakes, need to be roughly the same, you know. From practical perspective, it's not practical, you know, to ask somebody to carry around a little notebook with them and say, look, wherever you are today and whatever food is made available to you, make sure you tally it all up and you get X grams of carbs, proteins, and fats in total, you know, 5,000 calories. It's just not practical.
Right.
You know, you need to be honest and upfront with them. Look, at least 2 of your meals every day, at least while we're doing this, bulking up, are going to be 1,000 calories, and they're going to consist of X, Y, and Z. So let's do what we can to make them palatable.
Right. Okay, so with that being said, you're saying to just increase 500 calories a day for what period of time? So like for the first week you increase 500 calories a day, then do you go an additional 500 calories a day the second week, or how long do you wait before you gradually start increasing the daily intake?
Well, and that brings up a good point. You need at least one metric or measurement to know when to pull the trigger on you need more or we need to.
Okay, so let's start with this. How does someone calculate their basal metabolic rate? How do they determine what calories they need just to maintain their weight right now?
Great question. Here's what I tell my guys running Blueprint. On Monday, you're going to get up, hit the bathroom, do your business, and then strip down and step on the scale. Say you weigh 200 pounds. For the next 6 days, you're going to count every morsel of food in calories that crosses your lips. You're going to add that all up, and you're going to get up Sunday morning and step on the scale. Same drill.
After you've gone potty already, obviously.
Exactly.
You don't want any fake weight. Right, okay.
Same scale, roughly the same time of day, no clothes. If you are within a pound or so of your starting weight, presto. You add up those total calories for the week, divide by six, there is your daily, average daily caloric maintenance level or thereabouts.
Divide by six, not seven, right? Because you went from...
6 days.
Yeah, right, 6 days, okay. All right.
That gets it, it's a practical way of saying, hey, look, in 1 week, guys, we can establish what we need to, which is how many calories it takes a day to sustain your current body weight.
So you feel that's a much more accurate way than the calculators on the internet where you put your body weight in and then you're supposed to assume your lean mass to fat mass and all that other nonsense, and then it tells you 11 calories a pound or whatever it is.
That's part of the problem that the internet offers today. It's information overload. Guys, you can drive yourself nuts. There are so many calculators and different ways and body fat measurements and this and that. You know, that's one way to do it. That's the way I like to do it. The other thing I recommend is to go to, there's a website called livestrong.com, which will automate this for you. And once it's done, it's done. So listen, it's a week out of your life. Let's get it done and get to work.
Do you find that a lot of people, as soon as you say, I want you to record everything you eat, that you lose them right there?
Well, some I do. However, and I respect that. I really do, because I understand not everybody's going to be willing to do that. For those folks, what I'll recommend is a slightly different strategy, which is this. There's an old saying in our business that goes like this. The clothes knows. Get yourself a pair of jeans that you know how you fit in. Put them on. Jot down a few notes about how they fit, how they feel, and what the date is. Take a few pictures. Everybody's got a cell phone these days. Use the camera. Take those jeans and throw them in the closet where nobody's going to wash them or touch them or see them. Every 3 weeks, you take those jeans out again, and you put them on. Because if you are putting on too much fat in a male, it usually shows up in the midsection.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't want to count calories, then here's what I recommend.
Yeah.
If you're not gaining size and strength that you want to, eat until you're, you know, at least full, if not stuffed. Dial it, you know, be smart about it. Don't do that, you know, at every single meal.
Right.
Get more
and
upfront.
And choose the right foods. You know what? It's so critical. It's so critical that people understand that when you choose the right foods, your body will resist gaining fat.
Right. Right. So, you know, I'll tell them that. And likewise, if the little jeans experiment turns out to be a disaster in 3 weeks and you can't even button them, well, leave the table a little hungry, guy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just kind of common sense. And that they can understand, appreciate, and they'll do that, and it works.
I have a little twist to throw at it.
Hit me.
If you don't want to record everything that you're doing now, then start out with a reasonable approach. So, for instance, let's say you're the average guy who weighs 220 pounds, or you're an ectomorph that weighs 143 pounds. Commit yourself to eat 5, 6, or 7 meals a day, whatever fits into your schedule, and assemble your meals intelligently. Like, I'm going to make sure that every meal has 35 or 40 grams of protein. I'm going to make sure that every single meal has, you know, 10, 15, 20 grams of fat, and I'm going to make sure every single meal has 20 grams of good carbohydrates. I'm talking about sweet potatoes, you know, for those who are not allergic to oats, you know, oatmeal, vegetables, but something of substance, not pastry, not bread, not pasta, and any of that sort of stuff. And wild rice is okay, but not brown rice or white rice, because the truth of the matter is there's very little difference between the glycemic index between white rice and brown rice. So with that being said, make a commitment that these are the meals I'm going to assemble. Every single meal is going to have this much protein, this much carbohydrates, and this much fat. And I'm going to do this 6 times a day, and then use Rob Regish's approach. Eat that way. Weigh yourself at the beginning. Eat that way. Weigh yourself 6 days later and go, wow, I gained 3 pounds.
Yeah. Let me offer this final story, because it taught me a lot. The toughest customer I ever had that bought the blueprint was, he was very, very difficult. He said, listen, I don't want to do all this stuff. I'm not going to calculate this. I'm not going to do that. I said, okay, fine. You tell me, what are your goals? He said, I want my arms and legs bigger. I said, great. Ready? Here's the strategy.
I would have backed over them with a car, and they would have been flattened out and bigger. That would have been it.
I said, take a tape measure and record how big your arms and legs are, okay? In 3 weeks, you're going to do the same thing. Do the best you can with your diet. Do the best you can in the weight room. But in 3 weeks, if the tape measure isn't making bigger circles and the weight on the bar isn't heavier, then we know we need to fix things. But I'm willing to bet that you're going to see progress in both areas. And guess what?
He did.
He did just fine with that strategy. And you know why? Because that was him. And that's fine. I understand and respect that.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and we'll try to summarize for those out there who are just getting started and want to build that physique. This is a good time, too, because the summer's right around the corner. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. A little bit later in the show, Pam Colleen and I will be talking about this recent study that says that eating red meat will shorten your life. It clearly shortened the cow's life. We'll be right back.
Have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com. Today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can see eye drops. The name says it all.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds. Designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolone, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save
save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Now I'm lost. I'm screaming for help.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. So let's summarize for the newbies out there.
Sure.
Or for the people out there who have lost their way and they want to go back to the basics. Training less frequently, training in shorter sessions. For those who are considered hard gainers, focus on strength and not hypertrophy or pump. Sounds like that's the magic in the training approach. And obviously, eating more quality, nutrient-dense foods in combination with that, combined with adequate rest. It sounds very logical to me. Why can't people get it?
That's a difficult question. You raise a really good point. What I typically try to tell folks new to the game, so to speak, is this. I try to spec everything out in three bullet points. The first being understand who you are, meaning identify your somatype, ectomorph, mesomorph, or endomorph. Now you have a reference point. Two, once you're familiar with the classic barbell lifts, tailor just the next 6 weeks of your training to achieve whatever goal it is that you have, whether it's fat loss, gain strength, a mix of the two, etc. And finally, you don't have to walk this road alone. Seek out a mentor who can help you achieve these goals faster. Why? Because they walked the road that you're about to go down. And, you know, it really is incumbent upon the individuals who have had success and who have derived great benefit, you know, in their lives from physical culture to give back. So seek those people out. You know, they're still out there. There's not a lot of them, but they're still out there.
Well, and be careful because there's a lot of brotelligence out there, as we like to call it in the gym. And like for instance, these training approaches that are nonsensical. Like where you know you're doing the same weight, but you're reducing the number of reps. This is contrary to the types of loading patterns that increase strength and hypertrophy. If you seek somebody out, be cautious that they're not just marginally more in the know than you are. And I've said this before on the show numerous times, and I say it especially when I know that there's a certain number of audience members that tune out when we do shows that can be categorized as shows about bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because they immediately think of the sport bodybuilding, and I don't want to talk about bodybuilding. Well, look, you do want to talk about bodybuilding because your body needs to constantly be rebuilt or it's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
So whose advice are you going to take? Are you going to take the advice of somebody who's marginally more knowledgeable than you? Or are you going to take the advice of somebody who is competing at a level where the physical ideal is so extreme and compare that to a piano player? Do you want to take lessons from the guy next door who plays marginally better than you, or do you want to take lessons from an impresario, a pianist who plays for the Philharmonic? Sure, you never plan on getting on stage and playing that good, but who do you want to take lessons from? You want to take lessons from a guy who makes a living at it.
Yeah. You know, when you're sizing somebody up as a potential mentor, here's the question that's going to tell you everything that you need to know. If you're looking at somebody that has everything that you want, all of the physical attributes, whatever they may be, ask them this question. Excuse me, sir. How did you get that way, and how do you continue to improve? If you get a blank stare, like a deer in the headlights, run like hell and move on to the next person. But the people that have those answers, you'll know it's genuine because they are passionate people. It comes from inside of them. It will radiate from their, not just their words, but it'll be in their eyes. Wade Johnson, classic example. Loves
right.
helping people, right?
Right.
Doesn't have to help people. He's a world record holder.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But listen to him. He wants to. He wants to share. He wants to give back. You said it yourself. He'll drive a monolift right, to some town.
Yeah, he drove a monolith from where he lives in Tennessee to Louisville, Kentucky, for a push pull event that only had like 30 competitors.
There you go, folks.
I mean, we're talking about a monolith is like moving a heavy piece of machinery. This is not, you know.
You know, that's the kind of guy, that is exactly the kind of guy that you're looking for. And you'll know him when you see him because the passion will come through in their voice, not only in their words, but in their actions.
Let's go ahead and talk about tomorrow's show. We have an exciting show for the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. And I have something to contribute now that I understand what we're talking about tomorrow. Talk about tomorrow's show agenda.
Tomorrow's show is going to be great, especially, you know, if you're considering just starting out, it's going to be fantastic for the following reasons. Wade and I are going to talk about all of the mistakes that we made. So be prepared for some big confessions, at least on my part. Everybody makes mistakes in this game, and it'll be a great show because hopefully people don't have to learn the hard way like I did. And like we all have had to, you know, you pay a certain tax, right? When you step into physical culture, and you don't want to pay those taxes if you don't have to. So hopefully we can help some people avoid
the pitfall, right? And I guess we're billing this tomorrow, the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, surviving the School of Hard Knocks.
I like that a lot. Rob Regish, thank you so much for coming on. I hope that the newbies out there, including my son Chase, get a little something out of this. This is not meant to be everything you need. This is just meant to be a way for you to understand what your needs are so you can start asking the right questions, doing the right things, and gauging your progress. You have to be able to gauge your progress. If you cannot measure it, you cannot manage it. So that's an important factor here in any endeavor, including changing the way your body works and looks. Rob, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Okay. And we'll be back with Rob Regish tomorrow during the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. Right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Pam Killeen on and talking about a subject that I've wanted to talk about since the research broke about red meat. Boy, oh boy. We'll be right back with more Super Human Radio.
NASA. Oh, I strap with the best. If you ain't feeling one or two, I respect.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Tryptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I want to have that liner changed to, you're listening to the Superhuman Channel, where red meat doesn't kill us. It makes us thrive, because we know the right type of red meat to eat. And my guest, a guest who I love having on the show, because regardless of how terrible it becomes out there with misinformation about nutrition, she continues to be an optimist. And that is none other than Pam Colleen, author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. And keep in mind, for those of you who've never heard of Pam and her book, this book is a lot more about nutrition than addiction. And if you want to unlock the secret code of how nutrition affects your well-being and your mental capacity, you have to read this book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. How you doing, Pam?
I'm great, Carl. How are you today?
I'm great, because I'm going to have some grass-fed beef this afternoon for dinner.
I love it.
I'm going to shorten my life, Pam, you know? So.
Oh, the headlines for this study have just been horrific. I mean, it's like a horror movie. I mean, I have one headline in front of me that says, red meat is not only unhealthy, but can be positively lethal. They're calling red meat lethal.
Well, you know what?
How
okay, you know what? Okay. First of all, shame on the mainstream media, because they, when they see headlines like this, and you know what? And the science community, the scientists out there are so desperate for attention. I mean, I get embargoed releases, as you probably do as well, Pam. There's one that is trying to prove that eating chocolate makes you thin. Okay, that's the headline of the release that was sent out to all of us media outlets. It's embargoed till the 26th, so I can't talk about it openly. But the notion is that the people who eat more chocolate are skinnier. You know, it's these scientists, they know what they're doing now when they write these studies. They want publicity. They want popularity. So they style these studies with endpoints that are designed to come up with these really shocking ideas. Right. And then the mainstream media loves it. They just go, ooh, hoo, let's go promote that now.
Well, we have to talk about the history of how this began, and that goes back to Edward Bernays and how he used science in order to market different products. And basically the product that became the DNA for a lot of what we see going on in terms of marketing-based science today would have been cigarettes. And that was Edward Bernays' genius, is you basically buy scientists, because scientists can be bought, and the research can be manipulated in order to basically produce certain outcomes that will sell a product. And that's essentially what most of science, or a huge, significant amount of science today, is based purely on that paradigm, that the outcome of the science must be for marketing purposes. And unfortunately, the vast majority of people out there, not your audience, of course, Carl, but the vast majority of people out there look at science as being credible. And that if somebody has a PhD and authored a study, that it must be the truth, and it must be based on facts. And that's just not the case at all today. In fact, up to 80 to 90% of the science today is purely for marketing purposes.
So let's talk about this study just for a second. So this study came out, and this was a longitudinal study, right? It was done over 20 years. There were some 100,000 participants, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And what they established was that any red meat, whether it's processed or unprocessed red meat, eating it daily shortens the life.
Mm-hmm.
So now tell me, read the paragraph that you were telling me about to kind of set up the stage here a little bit.
Okay, this is from the study. So in the study, men and women with higher intakes of red meat were less likely to be physically active and were more likely to smoke, drink alcohol, and have a higher body mass. The researchers attempted to control for these variables, but it is difficult to separate out the effects of meat consumption from other lifestyle habits, and a cause and effect relationship can't be determined. So essentially, the subjects smoked more, drank more, and were more obese, and were physically less active, and only had a 13% greater chance of dying. So one could extrapolate from that that the red meat may have been giving them some sort of protection. So you really have to be very discerning when you're looking at these studies.
See,
there are many confounding variables.
This is the problem with the endpoints. So, Pam, you just pointed out something great. Now, if you were out to prove that red meat could actually improve the quality of life, you could take these same data sets and extrapolate out and say that because of the consumption of red meat, the life expectancy was only shortened by 13% because of red meat.
Exactly. Right. There was some sort of, one could say there was a protective element. I mean, these are, as we know, smoking kills and inactivity is not healthy. I mean, they were leading, some of them were leading very unhealthy lifestyles. And so, yes, the red meat could have actually protected them.
Now, isn't it also fair to say that if we wanted to do things kind of in a vacuum and extrapolate out, we could say what they basically did was they took a universe of people that smoked, that was sedentary, they were obese. They probably ate a lot of other things in large quantities besides red meat. I'm sure that their unhealthy carbohydrate and unhealthy fat consumption was much higher than the average person. And, of course, they also ate more red meat as well. No one looked and said these people, aside from red meat, were engaging in all of these other high-risk activities. Instead, they just zeroed in on red meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they didn't distinguish between the types of red meat, the quality of red meat as well. And
bingo.
I think, there's already studies out there that show the connection between nitrites or the chemicals that are added to these products, these highly processed meats, and the connection between cancer. So there's a connection between the nitrites and cancer, and, you know, that's obviously the type of meat you want to stay away from. So you and I are not saying, that the processed meats are a good thing. We know that people probably should, minimize their exposure to those foods or avoid them altogether. That what we're talking about here is grass-fed meat, whole food, not processed, and that's the gold standard. And they're not looking at that in terms of the study. They're not looking at the differences between grass-fed beef that's unprocessed and the highly processed beef that would be coming from factory farms.
You know, when I talk about adhering to ancestral diets, people need to understand the nuance of an ancestral diet.
Mm-hmm.
The cows that our great-great-grandparents were using to produce red meat are different than the cows that we are being provided with today. And, mm-hmm. You can't even use the word natural anymore, Pam, because marketing has crapped on that as well. Mm-hmm. People look at the word natural and they think, oh, this is healthy. Well, guess what? Feces is natural. If it's in your food, they can still say natural. So even the word natural isn't adequate anymore. If you think about ancestral diets, what you need to think about is animal husbandry 200 years ago, 300 years ago, these cows, they roamed mountainsides and ate grass. They were designed to eat grass. They have two stomachs for that reason. These animals that we're eating today are sick animals. They're so sick.
Yes.
They have to be given subclinical doses of pharmaceutical drugs to be kept alive long enough to be slaughtered. In fact, California is trying to pass a law. And they shouldn't even have to pass this law. And I know I've said it before, but it's worth saying again and again. California is trying to pass a law that says if an animal is not ambulatory, if not can't walk into the slaughterhouse on their own, you shouldn't be able to slaughter, because they're dragging these animals in. So they're so sick.
Yes, and let me tell you something ironic. Yesterday we had a food, red meat recall here in Canada. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency called for it nationally across Canada. And if you want to talk about something that's lethal, Carl, you're talking about things like E. coli. And what is ironic about that, about this recall, is that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, back in 2002, along with our Agricultural University, University of Guelph, and Health Canada, they published a study basically showing that when you take a factory farmed animal and you put it out on pasture, if it had E. coli while it was in the confined setting and then you put it out on pasture, guess what? The animal stops shedding E. coli. So, I mean, duct taping the problem by simply waiting for these disasters to happen and then asking for a recall is unacceptable when they know that all the real solution to the problem is to put the animals outside on pasture where they belong.
Feed them what nature intended them to eat. This is a simple equation here, and no one is getting it. And the truth of the matter is we're never going to get scientists to go the step further and segregate out grass-fed beef from all this other crap out there. If we did that, I'm sure that the differences in results of a lot of these studies would be dramatically different, don't you?
Well, absolutely. I think that there's certain nutritional differences. Not just we're talking about not just the E. coli risk or Campylobacter or Salmonella or any of these foodborne illnesses that can come from these factory farms. We're talking about nutritional differences that can occur simply because the animal is raised in a more natural setting. And so I know on the show oftentimes I talk about the fat-soluble activators and how important they are in terms of your overall health. In particular, with regards to my book, Addiction, it has to do with balancing out the nervous system, that the vitamin A and vitamin D that would be naturally occurring in these pasture-raised animals are crucial for stabilizing your nervous system. And unfortunately, they're not not going to exist in an animal that's been raised in a factory farm, or they're going to be there in very nominal amounts. And remember that the vitamin A would be coming from the carotenoids in the grass. It'd be converted from the carotenoids in the grass from the animal being out on pasture. And the vitamin D would be naturally occurring in there simply because the animal is out in the sun.
Yeah. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to start to talk about red meat, the benefits of red meat. There's plenty of research out there on that as well. And why... Pam won't even, you won't even take a client that doesn't eat red meat, isn't that correct?
That's right. I won't take anybody, I won't take on any clients who aren't eating red meat. They must eat red meat.
And listen, folks, if you've never heard Pam on the show before, I must mention that she is a recovering vegan. I think that's important to say. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Pam Killeen.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You can get a copy of Pam's book by going to addictionthehiddenepidemic.net. This book is more like a textbook. I'm telling you right now, be prepared for all the information. Everybody who's ever bought the book has emailed me and said, wow, this is not what I expected. This has been, in most people's lives, a life's work that Pam puts in this book. It's fantastic. You may find the answers to your own health maladies right in the pages of her book. Pam, tell me why you won't work with somebody who refuses to eat red meat.
Well, it's because there are many, many reasons, but one of the reasons why is because of a copper toxicity problem. You know, most of us are not going to sit down and eat oysters, which are one of the top sources of zinc. And so the next best source is going to be red meat. And when people aren't eating enough red meat in their diet, unfortunately, what this allows for is the copper in their bodies to increase. And keep in mind that zinc and copper are antagonistic minerals. And if they're out of balance, if one is out of balance vis-a-vis the other, then it's going to cause a lot of health problems. These are two very crucial minerals, and the balance between the two of them is very, very important. And so when I'm working with people who have been either meat phobic or they've been vegetarian or especially vegan, and I look at their copper and their zinc, of course, what I see is a copper toxicity problem and a very, very low measure of zinc. And when there's too much copper in the body, that plays to many, many different mental health issues, everything from low energy, low vitality, depression. It can lead to lots of anxiety, sleep disorders, low libido, addiction in general. I can't help somebody who has any kind of mood disorder or addiction. I can't help them overcome these conditions until we get rid of the copper. And so I have a whole regimen that I put them on to help get rid of the copper. But in that regimen itself, people must eat red meat, so I make sure they're getting enough zinc in the diet.
Well, interestingly enough, there was a study published just today and released in the UK newspaper, The Telegraph, that women who eat red meat have half the risk of depression than mm-hmm. women who don't. This was done, 1,000 Australian women were studied by a Professor Felicia Jacka, who's with Deakin University. And what they found out was, even when they adjusted for all the other potential confounding factors, including smoking, socioeconomic differences, physical activity levels, they could not unlink the linkage between the women who ate little or no red meat and their depression states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it has a lot to do with the zinc and the copper levels. And, you know, this is something that very few people know about. I'm really fortunate that I found this connection and that I work with this lab in the States. And I love what I do because I get to see people overcome these conditions. But it takes a lot of work. It's not a straightforward process in order to balance out the copper and the zinc. It's a very difficult process.
You know, it's interesting because I remember one time when we did a show about vegan parents who impose their vegan lifestyle on their children, whether this was reckless and irresponsible. One of the things that always stuck in my mind was you said that when people first go vegan for the first week, 2 weeks, they have an almost euphoric sensation mm-hmm. that they attribute to feeling healthier, but it's actually the copper imbalance, isn't it?
It's part to do with that. I think it's also just a sugar rush. I think that what they're getting is a bit of a sugar rush. And so, yeah, I mean, most people I talk to, including myself, when they become vegan, initially they do feel better. And it's hard to describe exactly why that would be, but over the long run, of course, you see lots and lots of health problems ensue. And the problems can happen 9, 10, 15 years into the diet. They don't necessarily surface in the early stages of the diet.
What else was wrong with this study, Pam? I mean, this study required self-reporting, right? These people had to report how much meat they ate day in and day out.
Well, I think if it were a gold standard in a study, it would have been controlled, and you would have taken these 100,000 people and given them the same meals, you know, basically breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so it could be completely controlled, and then we could come out with a better synopsis of the study or conclusions of the study. Right now, it's basically just observational. So, and as you pointed out earlier, there are so many confounding variables, it's really, really hard to basically come to the conclusions. It's hard to justify that the conclusion that they came to, because really, even the authors of this study, your ancestors, my ancestors, their ancestors, we all evolved on eating red meat. So how could it all of a sudden join the dark side? It just doesn't make any sense.
And see, this is what frustrates me, and I talk about it on the show all the time. We abandon history and what we know to be true for the endpoints in a study. We wouldn't have got, in fact, if we look back to the Egyptians, what we know about the Egyptians we can use today. The Egyptians were one of they were the first to become agrarian-based diet. They devoted a lot of their diet to grains. They were obese. They were the first signs of cancer in the Egyptian population. We're talking about the Egyptian empire that's disappeared now. They were the first people to have rotting teeth. They invented the toothbrush for that reason. Mm-hmm. We see arteriosclerosis in mummies. These are the people who are living the way we are living here in the United States today.
Mm-hmm.
And they abandoned eating meat to a great degree.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you see in cultures the displacement of meat and replacement with wheat, then you start to see the degeneration begin. And archaeologists have found this time and time again. But I want to point out, Carl, that if people don't believe us that indeed we were a nation of meat eaters, even back in the 1800s, you can go online and find references to historical cookbooks, magazines, and so on, and you can go in and find in the literature that we were, the emphasis of our diet back in the 1800s was meat, but like you said, it would have been pasture-raised and much, much healthier quality of meat. So I just want to point out a quote, and this is something that stood out to me when I read Gary Taub's book, Good Calories, Bad Calories, just to give you an example. One French account from 1793 estimated that Americans ate 8 times as much meat as bread. By one USDA estimate, the typical American was eating 178 pounds of meat annually in the 1830s, 40 to 60 pounds more than was reportedly being eaten a century later. So, you know, we didn't have meat phobia in the 1800s.
Right. And you know what? And the funny thing is, if you say that to someone within the medical orthodoxy or the American Dietetic Association, they immediately come back and say, well, life expectancy was shorter then. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. And we've addressed that so many times on the show in so many different ways. There were plenty of people that lived into the 8th and 9th decade of life without any problems. In fact, they were robust. They were helping to raise their great grandchildren. They were involved in life. They weren't in an institution facing the wall. What people need to understand is when they started taking statistics and watching populations, what we had going on back then was infectious disease and death at birth and death before the age of 14. There was a high probability of dying from infection and so on. If you made it past 14, you were probably safe. So those people who died, mothers who died giving birth, children who died at birth, that pulled the average age down. So we're not living longer today. We've always lived in the 80s and 90s. If we were living longer today, we should be living to 120, 130 because 80s, 90s, 100s, we've been doing forever.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Carl. If you remove the variables that killed us in the 1800s that don't kill us today, and then you do a little number crunching, you'll find out that we're really not living that much longer. Some number crunchers say maybe a couple of years longer, whatever the case may be, but you have to factor in the fact that we're spending billions of dollars on healthcare, and what on earth are we getting for it if we're only living potentially a couple of years longer? And then the other thing you have to factor in, of course, is quality of life and whether or not the seniors are leading productive lives, because in that, yes, absolutely, our ancestors would have lived very productively into their senior years, and we're just not seeing that today.
You know, the Inuit was a meat-eating civilization. They ate predominantly caribou and sea mammals. We know this for a fact, right? They were also 4 inches taller than their farming neighbors. They had stronger bones. They had no heart disease, no arthritis, and no signs of cancer. Now, why didn't the Inuits die younger? Mm-hmm. I mean, people, you can't just take this research and go, oh, my God. Because I know right now, Pam, there are millions of people in this country who are going, that's it, I'm not eating red meat anymore.
That's right.
I mean, I know people right now. I know a woman who read the China, what was it called, the China study?
China study, yeah.
And she stopped eating all protein, including dairy protein, and went vegan. Now, this woman was already suffering from fibromyalgia, severe mm-hmm. fibromyalgia. I don't keep in touch with her anymore. I don't know what's going on with her. But she cut all animal protein out after eating that book. There are lots of lost people out there who don't have a compass anymore or don't have the courage to go, I don't believe this. This doesn't
That's right.
make any sense.
It's such people are so confused today, and the answers are really very simple. And I teach 16 hours worth of classes, and I wish I didn't have to torture people with that many hours of teaching material. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to undo the propaganda. When I do my classes, my bottom line is I just want you eating 3 square meals a day. That's all I want you to do. And all I get from people is propaganda when they come back at me and they say, well, can't I have, a bagel and cream cheese for breakfast? Isn't that healthy? I thought that was healthy. And I'm like, no, it is not a healthy breakfast. But people really, they have their belief systems. They're hearing information day in and day out. The information you and I are talking about doesn't show up in mainstream media because it goes against everything that they're putting out. And it's going to take a long, hard battle to reprogram people from what they actually believe today.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, after years of doing this show and being frustrated, I finally come to the conclusion that this is just more of evolutionary selection pressure. Some of us just aren't supposed to be here.
Well, very Darwinian. I mean,
yeah.
The strong are going to survive. The people who question the establishment, they're the ones who are going to survive. The people who believe these party lines, unfortunately, they will die off. And, that's the sad truth of it.
I want to take a quick commercial break. When I come back, I want to address this whole notion of memory recall questionnaires. I want to talk about that briefly. We're going to do a little fun thing when we come back. We're talking with mm-hmm. Pam Colleen. She is the author of a phenomenal book called Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. It's about nutrition, folks. This is not about drug addiction. This is about the addictive qualities of foods and when you're not eating the right things, why you can become addicted to things. People are self-medicating. A lot of times getting your diet straightened out makes a lot of these problems go away. You can go to addictionthehiddenepidemic.net to learn more. We'll be right back. Most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I think Anne, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right, Anne or An Pan, who is the postdoctoral fellow at Harvard School of Public Health, who is the lead author on this study, really, really missed the boat with this one and really is hurting a lot of people. And you know what? From the sound of that name, this person may be a vegan by religion.
You know,
by religion.
You know, Carl, you want to hear a contradiction right from the Harvard School of Public Health from 2006. This was another study they published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. They showed that a low-fat diet was not a cure-all, and it showed that there was no benefits for a low-fat diet. Women assigned to this eating strategy did not appear to gain protection against breast cancer, colorectal cancer, cardiovascular disease, and after 8 years, their weights were generally the same as those of women following their usual diet. So you see an absolute contradiction even from within their own research.
And this is why people should stay clear of research. I mean, you got to take research with a grain of salt. You listen to the research, and then you apply it to what you know to be true. And mm-hmm. what you know to be true should have greater gravity than research, because research is constantly contradicting itself. Before we move on with the discussion on these self-reporting type research approaches, C. Tisdale said, ask Pam Colleen what she thinks about the inflammation that is brought on by eating meats. Mm-hmm. He says, I only eat grass-fed meat, but I also take Dr. Michael's advice from Life Extension protocol of products to control the inflammation. I have an opinion of this, but go ahead, please. I want to hear what you think about this.
Essentially, you know, animal fats, if they're in the proper proportions in terms of the omega-6s and 3s.
Bingo.
That's going to help control inflammation. The inflammation, I'm sure there's many things that cause inflammation, but one of them is that people are getting too much of the omega-6 fats from these factory-farmed animals who are overfed and unfortunately shouldn't even be fed these genetically modified foods like corn and soy, and that's what's going to increase the omega-6 levels, and that leads to inflammation.
And this is why they're given antibiotics, by the way. They're given antibiotics originally to keep them from dying, but now the farming industry found out that giving them antibiotics also makes them fatter. For those of you who are looking for a linkage between the type of meat that you eat and your obesity, low levels or subclinical levels of antibiotics will make you fat. So if you're eating factory farm meat, not only are you eating a pro-inflammatory meat, but you're also eating a meat that's laced with antibiotics that has been linked to making you fatter. So mm-hmm. It's a double whammy. But to paraphrase something that was told to me by John Wood at U.S. Wellness Meat, and he said it on my show as well, grass-fed cows that are grass-fed all the way through their life and finished on grass before they're slaughtered, not finished on corn and grain, have the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratio as salmon. So we think of salmon as being an anti-inflammatory food. We can mm-hmm. think of beef the same way when cows are fed exclusively grass.
That's right. I mean, animal fats, if you follow the work of Dr. Mary Enig, who's the lipid scientist who wrote the book Know Your Fats, is that these animal fats actually have anti-inflammatory properties. But what's happened is because of the vilification of animal fats from, again, marketing-based science, these animal fats have been demonized and being blamed on causing inflammation, when it's really these plant-based fats and oils that are also contributing to so much inflammation in society today. And I want to point out one of the fats that gets wrongly demonized even to this day is something called arachidonic acid. You've probably heard of arachidonic
yes,
acid,
sure.
Carl.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you some of the science that shows arachidonic acid is actually our friend, not our foe. So here's just a few examples. Patients with autism, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depression show low levels of arachidonic acids in their bodies and could be worsened by eating a diet low in animal fat. Individuals with ADHD have significantly lower levels of both arachidonic acid and DHA, which is, again, something you would find in things like meat.
Right.
Alcoholics are deficient in DHA and arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid increases sleep quality during the night and increases energy during the day. And finally, the combination in the fats, of course, of the animal fats with the vitamin A, vitamin D, and arachidonic acid, that combination of nutrients help to regulate cortisol and dopamine, which would in turn help to regulate anxiety, depression, and motivation. So there you go, Carl. This is supposed to be a fat that is bad for us, but indeed, you know, some more and more research is coming up to show that it's actually our friend.
And by the way, to just go back for 1 second, to the study that was we discussed that was just released today in the Telegraph, these women who were not eating meat, red meat, who were suffering from greater degrees of depression, those degrees of depression were not mitigated by their consumption of pork or chicken or any other flesh animal protein.
Mm-hmm.
It was red meat specifically.
That's right.
That was causing the lack of depression in these women.
And it still comes down to the zinc level. Zinc, red meat is one of the best sources of zinc, like I said, aside from oysters. So when I have even a lacto-ovo vegetarian who comes to me, I see the copper toxicity in them, because even though dairy and eggs are good sources of zinc, they're not great sources of zinc. So it still comes down to eating enough red meat.
Now, why would science even endeavor to do a study by using people's memories to recall and reassemble what, I mean, Pam, I consider myself a pretty bright guy and I have a really good memory. I don't remember all of my meals off the top of my head yesterday. I probably could assemble them if I think long enough, but I surely couldn't assemble all the meals for the past week. And I definitely couldn't tell you what I ate over the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how does science get away with using this obviously fallible approach to gathering data?
Well, they're probably using it as a vehicle to scare us into thinking we're heading towards dementia or Alzheimer's, which would lead us to some sort of product of some kind, whether it was a drug or who knows? You know, so, you know, you have to look at the modus operandi. You have to look at the intention of the study in the first place. And usually it's a vehicle for marketing of some kind.
I wonder who funded this study.
You have to dig deeply to find the information sometimes.
Some studies now, they do print at the bottom if there's a conflict of interest, but not many are doing that yet. It's interesting to me to find out what the motivation for these endpoints were, because it, clearly the endpoints were skewed. This study could have been easily have been sedentary people who are obese and smoke. I mean, there's so many. I'm baffled why the endpoint was red meat. And clearly there were other high risk factors that are just ignored for the increase in potential death. I just don't get it.
I'm surprised they concluded and even observed that. I mean, I see that all every day in my own practice. But in the scientific community, of course, the pervasive belief is that red meat is bad for us. So the fact that they're actually acknowledging it as something that's good for us really astounds me, Carl. I can't wait to take a look at that study.
Yeah, that was just released today. And then there's a couple of the good write-ups out there. And, you know, there are a lot of good – there is good research out there on red meat. But here again – we don't know who's funding it. That's why I say, look, don't take the research and allow it to be 15, maybe 20% of the gravity of your decision. Mm-hmm. Make the other 80 to 85% gravity of your decision what you know to be true. And what we know to be true is that we have eaten red meat for thousands of years and thrived on it. And and we wouldn't be here having this radio show today if that wasn't true.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And you touched on it earlier, but before World War II, 90% of our beef cattle were actually out on pasture. And you see this transition towards the factory farms after World War II, because what we see after World War II is the rise of the antibiotic industry. We could not have had factory farms were it not for the rise of antibiotics. We needed the antibiotics in order to try and keep these animals alive, even if it were only, you know, maybe 50% alive, but keep them alive while they're in these terribly unhygienic conditions.
Pam, are you getting calls from clients after the release of this study? Have you had to revisit this this notion of the importance of red meat with them?
No, my clients all know. They all know I won't work with them unless they're eating red meat, and I tell them exactly why. And if they were vegetarians, I can show them on paper because I can see their mineral balance through the hair test that I do. And they can actually visually see oftentimes, not maybe on the first test, but progressively as I work with them, they can see the copper starting to come out. And then they kind of, their lights go on and they see what they've done in terms of imbalancing their biochemistry.
And hair testing is the best for this type of mineral test, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best test because, I just use a very specific lab to do this work. And, the reason why I love working with this lab is because they know how to interpret the test as well. And, on the first test when I'm working with somebody, I don't always see, the toxic metals because, generally what I'm working with is people with very weak adrenal function. And keep in mind that the adrenals control mineral balance in the body. They're also responsible for kicking out the heavy metals. And when the adrenals are weak, unfortunately, the minerals get imbalanced and the heavy metals get stored. And this is not obviously a healthy scenario. So you see people with a lot of depression, a lot of fatigue, sleep problems, and so on. And so what I have to do systematically is help relax the adrenal glands, heal the adrenal glands, allow for the minerals to come back into balance, and allow for the heavy metals to exit the body. And when that harmony happens, their lights start to turn on. And it's a very complicated process that I use, but it's extremely effective. But it does take time. It takes a lot of time to restore that biochemical mess.
What do you think the real motivation behind the pushing of the agriculturally based diet continues to be here? I mean, I've heard about biosustainability. You know, it's just not practical. I've heard these arguments for a long time. It's not practical to expect everybody to eat meat. They can't afford it. We don't have the ability to produce that much meat. If we can grow something, it's better. You think that's all that's at the root of this?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're producing cheap food, and unfortunately we're paying a pretty heavy price by buying all this cheap food. If they would just stop growing acres and acres and acres of genetically engineered soy and corn, we'd have lots of pasture to be able to put these animals back outside. But unfortunately, you know, the animals are clustered together in small geographic areas and force-fed these grains that are taking up potential pasture land. So to me, you know, it's unsustainable to have these factory farms. In fact, when I co-authored my first book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax, with Dr. Mercola, you know, I studied quite a bit in the area of the factory farms. And one thing I learned that was very loud and clear was that if we're going to have a famine, it will be because of these factory farms, because these animals are extremely sick. And when there's a pathogen or some problem going on in these facilities, I mean, millions of these animals can get culled, and I mean, God, that's just unsustainable. That's just completely unsustainable. And yeah, I tell you something, Carl, people in the city have no idea what's going on, for the most part, in these facilities, and, really? And the deaths and the culling that is taking place simply because they are so incredibly sick, these animals. And I'm talking about everything from pigs to cows to chickens.
You know, pigs don't get enough attention. Pigs are so robust. They literally feed them garbage and they thrive. but once again, this is another animal that if you're not buying, pigs that are raised naturally, you're really taking some big risks. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the interview with Pam Colleen. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Supreme Radio. This just in. Pam, this is from the Journal of Veterinary Medicine on the American Veterinary Medicine Association website. This is due to be released April 1st. Meat, dairy, and egg production expected to rise through 2021. However, they cite, due to recession, increased cost, and some droughts, that beef production will drop just for a little while, 2012, and then regain. But it's a steady line growing all the way through. People are eating more beef, more pork, and more poultry, and that's going to continue all the way through 2022. Do you know what the estimated cow inventory is supposed to be in the United States right now?
No, I don't.
This is just the U.S. This doesn't take into Calgary or anything like that, obviously, which is another. There's 30 million head of cattle as of early 2012. There's expected to be 34 million and rising. Mm-hmm. At one point, they estimate that by 2021, there will be an estimated 91 to 97 million head of cows in the United States. That is a lot of beef on the hoof, and that is a lot of factory farm. Those cows are probably clustered in a handful of places, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they generally are going to be factory farmed. I don't think we're going to see the end of factory farming in our lifetime, Carl. But unfortunately, you know, it's the way that most of our food is produced today. I think that one by one, you know, people who are conscientious and want to buy, you know, grass-fed meat from local sources, I think that that's how the supply and demand is going to change. It's just going to be one consumer at a time right now, because it takes a lot of education, a lot of motivation to get people behind the movement in terms of buying food from local farmers that are doing sustainable agriculture. There are really very few farmers out there in the grand scheme of things doing this type of agriculture, and it's going to take consumer demand to change and increase the supply. So, and I do see that happening. I think you see that happening on a daily basis. More and more people are starting to get, you know, more and more concerned about the mainstream food supply. Like I said earlier, this recall yesterday from the CFIA here in Canada, what that's going to do is it's going to get consumers to question the food supply even more and start sourcing their food from local farmers where they can look the farmer in the eye and trust the farmer and watch and see how the animals are raised, and they're going to have more confidence in those types of farms and buying food from an anonymous setting.
But my fear is that that's not what's going to happen. My fear is that the ever-encroaching, overreaching government, ours and yours, usually exploit these opportunities under the auspices of food safety to create greater draconian measures, which give them greater control over food and push more and more small family farms out of business. That's always what happens, because whenever these things happen here in the U.S., there's a faction that comes forth and says we need greater food safety. And obviously, the sheeple, as I like to call them, or the lemmings here in the United States who just follow whatever the government tells them, they're the ones that are going to abandon red meat now because of this study. They go, yeah, we need greater food safety. The government needs, you know what? Every time somebody sees a problem in life and goes, the government needs to, so a big giant boxing glove should come out from nowhere and punch them in the side of the head. People should never say the government should do anything.
Well, because the government doesn't with our food supply so far.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you that the foodborne illness rate in the United States is about 25%. That means about one person in four in the United States is potentially going to get sick with some sort of foodborne illness in a given year. Here in Canada, and I'm citing from our public health authorities, here in Canada, the foodborne illness rate is 40%. So our food supply here in Canada is much worse than in the United States. So we have almost a 1 in 2 foodborne illness rate. So one person in 2 over the course of a year could be sick from food. So what these numbers actually could do is it could say, oh, well, to render our food supply more safe, what we need to do is irradiate the food. And I think your listeners should be wary of that, because that's one of the selling points for the irradiation market.
And irradiation is going to take pasteurization's destruction to a whole new level.
Absolutely. But, I mean, that they're going to make – the government is going to do this under the guises of protection, right? When really the solution would be, let's just get these animals outside, raised in a more humane environment, and then the meat or the milk or whatever is going to be healthier in the first place.
Right. We need to decentralize the food. What has happened over the past 50 years has become the centralization of food production for the greater profitability of a handful of companies who now control the majority of food production. And that is where everything has gone wrong. Okay? Mm-hmm. And raising animals, it needs to be done in small batches by individuals, and those are your family farms. And we need to return to that. And as Pam points out, the only way we're going to get back there is more and more people start seeking out at their farmer's market, buying their chickens there, asking about how to get grass-fed beef. Even raw unpasteurized milk here in the United States is still loosely available without, you know, being put in jail. That's the only way this is going to change, because for every family that comes off the grid, so to speak, of buying commercially produced food, that's a person who doesn't walk into their grocery store as frequently. The grocery store stops ordering things. When they stop ordering things, the manufacturers throw lots of stuff away. When the manufacturers throw lots of stuff away, they scratch their head and they go to marketing. Why are we not selling this stuff? Marketing goes out on the streets and goes, they're buying it from the small family farms now because the small family farms give them this, this, and that. And then the companies that are sensible will go, we need to redesign the way we do business. The other ones will go out of business. You know, we could put companies like Monsanto out of business in a handful of years if we wanted to.
That's and
we,
right.
We vote with our dollars every single day, but people are lazy.
Well, and or they're too fatigued or too depressed to even care. I mean, most people that I see are barely able to work a 9-to-5 job, and when they do, if they can work a 9-to-5 job, they go home, they crash on the couch, and they tune out. They just have no energy to deal with a lot of these things, and we have healthcare systems that are imploding right now because of this phenomenon. I mean, we have at least 50 up to 80% of doctor visits today are due to psychological problems like fatigue, depression, anxiety, sleep problems, you name it. And look at that, what that would represent in terms of the overall burden on our healthcare system. And these are conditions that are simply manifestations of malnutrition. And keep in mind, the first symptoms of malnutrition are going to be psychological symptoms.
Yes, yes. You know, Dr. Ronald Klatz, who's the number two guy at A4M, the Anti-Aging Association, was on my show 3 years ago when President Obama took office, because A4M submitted a plan to fix the healthcare system by addressing it from the influx of new sick people instead of managing sick people. And here we are almost 4 years later. Nothing has gotten better. And I'm actually going to have Dr. Bob Goldman on, the number one guy at A4M, to talk about retrospectively what would have changed if the current administration had looked at what A4M had submitted and said, look, if you start getting people, you know, straightened out and getting them to eat the right foods and getting them to exercise and getting them to pay attention to hormones, they won't need all of this medical care. They'll be healthy and they'll thrive. And the cost of healthcare will go down, 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 because there won't be a constant influx of people into the system. So we're going to do a retrospective of that. But it's just shocking to me that no one is asking the right questions, that especially our legislators, that no one's saying, but why is everybody getting sick today? This is a simple question. No one is answering. No one's asking it. If it's not part of our legacy to be sick. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, eventually I'm going to get sick. That's what we're programmed now like that. Well, eventually I'm going to get sick.
No, big food, big pharma, they simply have too much control over our governments. And the other propaganda that they put out to us with regards to diet and educating people about diet is this notion, well, if the government tells us what to eat, then now we turn into a nanny state. So you see these really very devious front groups that are out there representing big food, and that's one of some of the rhetoric they put out. They say, do you really want to be in a nanny state where the government tells you what you can and cannot eat? And so they use that to basically promote pop and sugar and flour and, you know, all the processed foods. So it becomes a very delicate situation in terms of educating people. And so I think a lot of politicians, for one reason or another, just stay away from getting the truth out about food.
This was something that I was slightly encouraged by. If I could pull it up here, we'll just chat about it really quickly. But right on the heels of the red meat threat, promoted by Harvard School of Medicine, there was a group, a dietetic association, I'm trying to find it, that came forth and said, don't demonize red meat. But again, also in the UK, not here in the United States. The Dietetic Association in the UK, and I'm just paraphrasing because I read the article this morning, but our equivalent here of the American Dietetic Association over there in the UK came forth and said, don't demonize red meat. And I applaud them for that, because you won't see the American Dietetic Association coming forth and saying that, because this feeds right into their whole agenda. Popcorn is a healthy snack. Calories are what you should pay attention to. This is all nonsense. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of and not enough people are speaking up about it, in my opinion.
Well, and I want to keep in mind, Carl, that chicken is easier to produce and more profitable than meat. And so, again, it feeds into the pockets of the chicken people, the chicken conglomerates. You have chicken now that can be grown, fully grown in 42 days. And so this is another push, again, to increase our consumption of chicken simply because they're faster to produce and more profitable than red meat. And this is what we see going on in Asia as well.
Let's talk about the book, and we'll close the interview. The book continues to be very, very popular. Are you in print in other countries now? I got an email just now from a fella in overseas asking if the book is in print in other countries now.
One of the ways to get it would be through Amazon.com. I think it's for sale at Amazon in Australia and the UK as well. So that's one way, easy way to look for it.
Would you ever consider translating the book?
No, I don't have anything in the works for that right now. No,
okay.
I don't think so.
I think that the language barrier would be an interesting ceiling to break. For people out there who, you know, maybe there's a lot of Spanish-speaking individuals out there who aren't getting this message, and it just dawned on me. That's all.
Well, let me tell you something really interesting, something I came across while I was researching for the book, and that is that depression is very prevalent in English-speaking countries only. Hmm. You see depression in other countries, but nowhere near to the same degree as you would see depression in English-speaking countries. And what do you see as a common denominator, a common thread in English-speaking countries?
They understand what the United States is saying. That's what I
say. They are perpetuating the low-fat lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's the animal fats that are very stabilizing for the brain, very stabilizing for the nervous system, and really perpetuating this low-fat lie is been to our mental demise, and we're going to see depression increase to the number two cause of disability worldwide by 2020. So depression is on the rise. As depression increases, of course, we're going to see more and more addiction in society. We're going to see a lot of angry, a lot of violence among our youth. I mean, this is a very, very serious problem on our hands. And so my book was basically a call to action, Carl, because I see a problem all around me. We just had St. Patrick's Day on Saturday, and one of our local colleges had a riot. 1,000 children, 1,000 young people, 1,000 members of our society had a violent action right near our college, right near, and they were throwing rocks at the police cars, and the media was there, and it was just horrific. In a relatively small city here, and a very calm city, you know, and this has made national and international news around the world because of this riot. And I look at these young people, and I think to myself, you know, how are they going to be able to make rational decisions when they're so incredibly brain starved?
Yeah, yeah, we know that the socioeconomic challenged areas of the country where they depend on fast foods. These are where the greatest degree of violence are. I had this discussion with Dr. Susan Kleiner, author of The Good Mood Diet, and she said it's because they're getting the wrong fats in their diet, they're angry, and they're lashing out. And it comes down to that. And you know what? You can't – the judicial system doesn't want to hear it. The penal system doesn't want to hear it. The doctors don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it, because then they have to admit that we have hidden this all along. I say it's better to come forth and admit it and move past it. Because our nation is in trouble on so many fronts, I don't know what else we can take. I'll tell you the truth. Pam, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Carl.
And we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. And pick up Pam's book. Go to her website. It is addictionthehiddenepidemic.net. It's a great book. I promise you that you'll enjoy it. We'll see everybody tomorrow with a episode of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.